This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, here's what they say.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitarandella. When the stars make you drool, just like a pastifazool, that's amore. When you dance down the street with a clod at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore.
I love that song. Dean Martin, good choice. Big Ed, I love it. Good morning, welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, August the 21st, as we roll right through the summer, and we got a lot going on. In a few minutes, James Bruhl of the Competitive Enterprise Institute will be here, and we are going to talk about something you probably never, ever thought about, how federal regulatory costs derail what you would call business opportunity costs. We'll get into exactly what business opportunity costs are with James Bruhl in just a few minutes. And Donald Trump says he plans on dodging all the Republican primary debates, not just the one coming up this Wednesday in Milwaukee. What is going on with him there? We're going to talk about it. And Hunter Biden's lawyers once threatened to put Joe Biden himself on the witness stand if his son was to face criminal charges.
Couldn't find the witness stand.
Couldn't
find the witness stand, even with direction.
We're going to check into all of that. I wonder, that would have been something to see. And we have a goodie in the Ultimate Top 10. The top 10 one-hit musical wonders, according to Rolling Stone magazine. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. Freedom Works, sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza. That's in Dunedin. Just got a haircut there. Perfect job, as always. I recommend it. Best place I've ever found in Tampa Bay. Call first for your appointment, please. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Call 727-733-3773. Great haircut, great price. And Arbor Life Tree Service. I have used them. I love them. They are the best, whether it's anything to do with trees. You want to plant a tree, you want to get rid of a tree, you want to enhance a tree, you want to blossom a tree, you want to fertilize it, whatever. If it has to do with trees, Arbor Life is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call Arbor Life today for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. All right, so as usual, I like to watch some of those talk shows on Sunday, because I always find it interesting to watch CNN and MSNBC and Fox News. They had their so-called political gatherings. On Meet the Press, they were criticizing President Biden yesterday over his Bidenomics push. Also, they were criticizing him over his refusal to comment on the investigations into his son Hunter and also his low poll numbers. Now, that's kind of an interesting situation for Meet the Press, which tends to be very liberal. A Hoover Institution fellow was on, and
he said he was confused about the Bidenomics push. He said, actually, it was Lanthi Chen, or is it Larathy Chen, I guess. He said, you're trying to convince people of something. You're trying to convince people their own impressions about the economy are wrong when it comes to Bidenomics. And so if you look, for example, at how Hispanic and black voters feel about the economy, they'll tell you it stinks. He's right. And he goes on to say, now they can keep saying, but we have the CHIPS Act, but we have the IRA. He said, at the end of the day, you can't convince somebody that they're feeling how they're feeling about the economy, what they're feeling about the economy is wrong. And that's what this election is going to come down to. And he says, and I get it that they're trying to present a proactive message, but at the end of the day, it's very difficult, I think, to do that when people feel completely different. So there's a little bit of truth in that, isn't there? No matter what Biden says.
Well, yeah, I don't know where he gets his statistics from because...
Oh, he's making them up.
You know, with this whole economy thing, he says, oh, prices are down and they're not... I don't know where
they're
asking. Yeah, he
compares it to it like a year and a half ago or something during his own... Oh, and we're bringing down the cost of gas. Yeah. No, you're not bringing down the cost of anything. Everything's gone up since you've been here. All I remember is when we... when Biden came into office, our gasoline here in Tampa Bay was about $1.79 a gallon.
Yes.
It's now about $3.90 a gallon.
It is.
But it's more than twice what it was.
His outlook is, I've brought gas prices down $1.50 from its peak. In other words, when it peaked at almost $6, yeah. That was your fault.
It's like when he sets the barn on fire and he says, but I was able to save the cows.
And
you got to thank me, I saved the cow.
I don't know.
He sets the barn on fire.
I don't know who he's talking about prices being down or who they're asking, but ask me, because I was just, again, at the grocery store. And I told you last time that the dog food that I buy, it was up a dollar a can, okay?
And he doesn't even have a dog, folks.
Well, I have two. And I sat the boat down and said to get jobs. But now it's gone up another 25 cents a can.
Yeah.
Now they're going to have to get night jobs, too.
I got two cats that have the same issue.
And here's the tricky part. I went to get deodorant, the stick deodorant, you know? And it's only... He was up a quarter. I'm like, okay, that's not too bad. And I held it in my hand. It feels kind of light.
It's like half the size.
Yeah. So I got it home and I pulled out an old one that was in the drawer.
Yeah.
And it's
they do that too.
The new one is the old one was 2.0 ounces and this one is like 1.7.
Go and buy a bar of soap and open up the package. And you will. They even try to disguise the size of the soap.
Right.
The soap is not as much soap as you used to get.
And how I love the one that says 50% more. It doesn't say anything about you don't pay for 50% more. They just give you 50% more, and then you pay 50% more.
Oh, absolutely, you pay more. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, prices...
Absolutely crazy the way things are going with the cost of goods. Biden's not fooling anybody. And he says, and we've reduced the deficit. What is he talking about? You haven't reduced the deficit. That is an absolute, complete lie. He's not reduced the deficit in any way. Not any way. I don't care how you look at it. And he continues to say that. And even the Washington Post has given him, what do they call it, unending Pinocchio or something like that on that one? Their fact checker. So forget it. Forget it. All right. Anyway, we're going to take a little break from all of that. And we're going to talk about what it's going on. Well, it's not really a total break because we're going to talk with James Brulin of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Brulin. Yeah, I'm thinking of the actor James Brolin. No, I'm sorry, James Brolin of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about how federal regulatory costs derail business opportunity costs.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price.
They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on a Monday, Freedom Works. We thank you so very, very much for listening to us. And we are delighted to have James Brule join us. He is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, specializes in energy, environment, and deregulation. And we're going to talk about something that probably most people have never heard of, James, and it's opportunity cost, which can be associated with businesses. Could you explain the definition of an opportunity cost as, say, opposed to a federal regulatory cost?
Sure. So, first of all, thanks for having me.
Of course.
Opportunity cost is just what would happen with the resources if they weren't used for some particular purpose. And so in this case, we're talking about complying with regulations. So if a business is forced to spend, say, $1 million making an upgrade or installing some equipment in order to comply with a regulation, the accounting cost might look like it's $1 million because that's what's spent. But the opportunity cost is really about what would that $1 million have gone towards if the business didn't have to install the equipment, if it didn't have to comply with the regulation. It might have invested in more hiring or more equipment or paid bonuses to employees, higher wages, something along those lines. So that's what we give up as a result of having to comply with the regulation.
Yeah,
that's the opportunity.
And most of us don't think about that. But, all of these regulatory costs that come down the pike, and typically it seems like it's more democratically, I know that both sides both parties have engaged in it, but it seems like with Democrats in particular, they continue to heap these different regulations on top, one on top of another. It intimidates businesses, it stifles businesses, and like you say, where that money would have gone, they could have raised employee salaries, they could have invested in more technology, they could have upgraded their product, whatever, right?
The challenge with opportunity cost is it's this unseen consequence. So it's the innovation that we don't get as a result of lots of government spending and regulation. It's the higher wages, the higher living standards, the new technologies that aren't invented. And so it's because it's this unseen consequence from government policy, it's easy to kind of dismiss it or even just ignore it. And the Biden administration is making changes right now to how economists and the government analyze the consequences of their regulations, and they're downplaying and I would argue just phasing out consideration of these opportunity costs from the economic analysis. It's very distressing.
So they used to factor opportunity cost into the equation when they were considering is that how that worked before?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are guidelines from the Office of Management and Budget. The Office of Management and Budget, for a number of decades now, has reviewed the economic analysis that federal agencies prepare when they make a really big regulation. And they have guidance to the agencies on how they're supposed to do the economic analysis. And previously, the last version of the guidance in 2003 had some requirements to include the rate of return on displaced capital investment in the cost-benefit analysis. Now, this wasn't being done. There were some technical errors with how this was being done. And so the Biden administration is looking at some of the mistakes that were done in the past. Essentially, they were assuming like all the benefits and costs would be compounding at 7% a year in return, when that doesn't make sense. It's only displaced investment that would grow at that rate over time. And so the Biden administration is just saying, we're just going to eliminate that from the economic analysis, when what they should be doing is saying, let's fix what we were doing wrong before. Let's not incorporate, let's not analyze this the way we were in the past, and let's correct that mistake. But instead, they're just saying, we're going to phase out consideration of displaced investment from the economic analysis, which is crazy. This is just completely contrary to basic economic thinking.
Yeah. I guess I'm always drawn, especially these days because of the cost of energy, I'm always drawn to the regulatory costs on energy. And it seems like the Biden administration has been heaping additional regulations on drilling and where you can drill and, you know, handing out the permits, which would seem to me to, in some way, shape, or form, it's got to cost the energy companies more money to kind of follow along. Is there a good example you could use, like, you know, in the gasoline industry on how that might work?
Sure. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is that under the Inflation Reduction Act, which is this unfortunately titled law that passed just a year ago, the federal government is spending, some estimates are over $1 trillion on all these subsidies to renewable energy companies. And what's happening is all of these new wind and solar facilities that they're trying to build are getting held up in the permitting process. And this is causing all these cost overruns. It's making it more difficult to even build a lot of these projects. And at the same time, the Biden administration is updating federal permitting rules and saying we need to consider all these different factors like environmental justice, which is only going to make it even harder to get new projects approved, because it just gives more fire to the litigation efforts to stop a lot of projects. So there's kind of this split personality going on in the Biden administration, because on the one hand, they're trying to speed up this energy transition to clean energy, and on the other hand, they're piling on more and more regulations that make it impossible to even start any new clean energy projects. And so there's, and then, you know, in addition to that, they're not evaluating the cost correctly as a result of some of the updates I mentioned a minute ago.
What a mess. We're talking with James Brule, who is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, where he specializes in energy, the environment, and deregulation. And boy, do we need some deregulation these days. And we're talking about opportunity costs, where money might be used by businesses if it hadn't been for the regulatory costs they got to pay for. So you would think that somebody would tap Biden on the shoulder and say, look at the cost of gasoline here for everybody, which is rising because of something like that. You know, it raises all of the other costs that people have to pay for. You know, these regulations and all of these rules that limit the ability of companies to, just blossom. Don't you think the Biden administration can see what they're doing to businesses? And all they have to do is look at the inflation and, you know, where our economy is going. Are they so wedded to this environment and green energy and everything else that they just are blind to what's going on?
You know, one of the things that's most distressing to me as an economist, I've got have a PhD in economics, and is when I look at these updates to these cost-benefit analysis guidelines and they're phasing out consideration of these opportunity cost impacts, is the sheer number of economists who actually support this. It's very partisan. So I would say if you look through the docket where people, the public, can comment on these different regulatory updates, there are many prominent economists who actually support what the Office of Management and Budget and the Biden administration is doing in this area. And I would say it's just evidence of the economics profession losing sight of its roots, forgetting one of its most basic principles, and just a sign that ideology and politics
bias
is just now trumps everything.
Yeah, their personal bias is now affecting the numbers that they're crunching.
Right.
No, you're
right. So the books are just getting cooked. That's what's happening.
Yeah. So is there any rainbow at the end of this storm? Do you see? I mean, is it going to take? Let's assume that in 24, the Republicans recapture the White House somehow. Do you think that they will start to deregulate some of this, which would allow these opportunity costs to come back?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So, I mean, one of the upsides is that this is just a guidance document from the Office of Management and Budget. Now, they put it out for public comment, and there's a peer review process that has to go through. But a new president could come in on day one and just throw this document out. And there's a reason why these guidelines haven't been updated in 20 years, is that there's some disagreement in the economics profession about how to do some of these analytical different techniques. What's the best approach? And so, as a result of trying to avoid controversy, a lot of administrations have kind of dodged updating these guidelines, even though they're very old at this point.
But, yeah.
So I cannot imagine a Republican president coming in and keeping this document in any form, really, because right now it's just a proposed update. They haven't finalized it, but there's really nothing new in the proposal that is better than what was in the 20-year-old guidance. So I think at a minimum, you'll see this document thrown out and the old guidance put in place, but it would be better if it were updated.
Yeah.
To reflect.
You say it's proposed, right, James? You say it's proposed, which means it's not for sure yet. What are the chances? Let's say if Democrats continue to hold on to the White House, what are the chances that this thing will indeed, this proposal, come to fruition? Do you think?
So, it will certainly, I would say, be finalized during the first 4 years of a Biden presidency, and if the bigger danger is if Biden is reelected for a second term, then these practices start to get ingrained at the federal agencies after they're doing them for four, five, 6 years. But I would expect this document to get finalized in some form. There may be some slight improvements in the final form relative to what is in this. It's called Circular A4 if people are interested in reading about it. But it may be modestly better what's the final version than the proposal, but because there has been some pushback against some of the aspects of what they're trying to do, but I wouldn't expect it to be that much better.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a real danger that this is finalized and regulators have 4 or 5 years to start producing analysis this way, and then it just becomes those are the practices.
You know, I've been thinking about, as you're talking, I've been thinking about the Competitive Enterprise Institute, their reason for being, which is to educate people about the importance of a free market and economics, and you guys do a wonderful job of it. You really do.
Thank you.
But I'll bet in these last few years, you have never had so much work to do as you do today to get out the message of free enterprise and the importance of allowing businesses to innovate and to flourish and all of those other things. It must be, I don't know, you must go, my God, you know, we're trying to take 2 steps forward, but it seems like we're taking 3 steps back.
It does often feel that way, and it's a challenge just to educate the public about, continually educate the public about how regulation is really the way that government policies are enacted these days. I mean, it's unelected regulators in this, these alphabet soup of different federal agencies and state agencies too, writing laws that all of us have to comply with. There's hundreds of thousands of requirements on the books that we all have to comply with.
Yeah.
They have the force of law, and Congress has really just abdicated its responsibilities and let these regulators run wild.
And, you know, and that's a Republican-controlled Congress. They got to wake up.
Well, I'm just glad there are people like you, James, for and thank you so very much for coming on and talking about opportunity costs. We need to allow businesses to flourish. Thank you so much. I hope we talk again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. James Brule of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Donald Trump says he not only will he not be attending Wednesday's Republican primary debate, he plans on dodging every one of them. We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. Thank you so very much for being with us here. And Wednesday in Milwaukee will be the first Republican presidential primary debate. And guess who's not going to be there? The one that everybody probably wants to be there, Donald Trump, is not apparently going to show up unless at the last minute he surprises everybody. And, you know, he could do that. You never know what he is thinking. But apparently he took to his Truth Social account and said that not only will he not participate in this week's primary debate, he will not be participating in any of the debates. Earlier this week, the New York Times reported that Trump would skip this particular debate. By the way, it's going to be on Fox News, and it's going to start at 9 o'clock Eastern time. But he is apparently planning on allowing a pre-taped interview with Tucker Carlson to run simultaneously on some network that Tucker Carlson is not now involved in, and I'm not even sure what that network is. So he's going to be on one network with Tucker Carlson, apparently, and we're going to... What's going on? Which one's going to get higher ratings?
I would settle for him sparring with... doing like a CNN interview and sparring with one of them.
Yeah.
That would be entertaining.
Oh, that would be very entertaining. Yeah. So we got the... our master barber buddy, Andrew the Master Barber. And Andrew, are you disappointed that Trump says he will not appear on Wednesday's debate?
No, I'm not really, Paul. I'm going to see the other people make fools of themselves.
Are you going to?
Because that's all that's going to happen.
Do you know by any chance if Trump is going to be doing an interview with Tucker Carlson, I wonder what network that one will be on. I guess Tucker's on some other network now.
Yeah, he is. I really don't know which one it is. Yeah. Beyond.
I mean, I believe it's going to be on Twitter. I'm not sure.
What's that?
Yeah.
I believe it's going to be on Twitter.
Oh, they're going to have the debate on Twitter?
Oh, no, Tucker Carlson. No.
Well, the pre-taped interview that he's going to do with Trump, where will that be shown?
On Twitter.
Oh, you can watch it on Twitter. Oh, okay, got it. Well, my goodness, we're going to have to listen to both of them then somehow.
So I got a split screen on my television, and I can get both.
Perfect. All right. So tell us, I don't know, there's like six candidates that have qualified. Apparently Pence will be there, and Scott from South Carolina, Nikki Haley will be there, and our buddy from New Jersey, Chris Christie. I'm going to be interested in hearing what Chris Christie has to say. You know what he's going to say? He's already saying it. He's going to say that Donald Trump is a coward for not showing up.
Yeah, he can say what he wants. I'm going to eat a dozen donuts. I got
too late. He's already done.
You know,
go ahead.
People don't realize what's going on. Okay. Now, you heard this weekend that they said Ron DeSantis called the Trump voters listless people, right?
Yes, I got something on that, by the way.
Now, you know, a lot of people don't realize what the word listless means, or listing people.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you have a boat can list to the left and list to the right.
Mm-hmm.
It rocks. It's called listing. Now, what he meant was that the Trump voters do not list. In other words, they don't tip one way or the other. They're very straight. And people are taking that word as a derogatory term, and it's really not.
Here's what he said. This, a movement cannot be about the personality of one individual. This is Ron DeSantis talking. The movement has got to be about what are you trying to achieve on behalf of the American people, and that's got to be based on principle. Because if you're not rooted in principle, if all we are is listless vessels that are just supposed to follow, you know, whatever happens to come down the pike on Truth Social every morning, that's not going to be a durable movement. So that's what he said.
He tried to phrase it nicely. What he means is they're not going to move one way or the other. They're not going to one side or the other. And he's right. People are going to listen to what Trump is saying. These are his followers. They're not going to change. But anyway, he's just hurting himself more and more. That's why that whole debate that's going to happen, every one of them up there is a loser, Paul.
You think?
Every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Except, I'll tell you what, I like Tim Scott and I like Ramaswamy.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well,
other than that, the other ones are nothing but politicians, and again, never done nothing in their life. Went to school, got a law degree, and went into politics because there's more money than ever there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what do you feel, how do you feel about Trump dodging all of the Republican
debates? He's not going to dodge all of them. He's watching to see how many points he's ahead. If he sees he's losing points to these people, then he'll get in and knock them down.
But he said
all he's doing.
Well, he said he's planning on dodging it.
Well, like I said, he's watching his points. If his points drop down 15 points or somebody's coming up 15 points, then you'll see him get in and knock them down.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you're 35 or 40 points ahead of everybody. And the reason he is because everybody up there is a cacoots. It's that simple. Not one of them I would have as a president, except maybe Ramaswamy or Tim Scott.
Yeah.
But if Trump is smart, he's going to take Trump, or he's going to take either Ramaswamy or Tim Scott as a VP.
I think Scott would be great.
Yeah, either or.
And go ahead.
I think either one of them would be great, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, may the best man win out of the two of those. And that's what I'll watch. If I was to watch the debate, that's what I would watch for. See who's better between him or Ramaswamy, or Tim Scott and Ramaswamy as a vice president candidate. The other ones, you could throw them a fish, because that's all they're worth.
What do you think about Fox News being the one that is doing the debate?
Well, you know, I get a little bit leery with Fox News, too. That Cavuto guy, he's a moron. Did you see him the other day trying to lure Ramaswamy into turning against Trump?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Cavuto is one of their business talking heads, and he does a regular show, Neil Cavuto. But the other one that's on the Fox Business Network, and I got to think of his name now, Kudlow. Larry Kudlow. He is a big time Trump supporter and served in Trump and Reagan's administrations.
Exactly.
And in fact, he did a one-hour interview with Donald Trump last week that was aired. A very, very interesting interview. And he brought out, and they talked, you know, focusing on economics and what Trump would mean, you know, to the country if he got back in there. So, like you say, Trump is going to be the elephant, except for Chris Christie, the elephant in the room during this debate. because everybody's going to be thinking about him. It'll be hard not to talk about him.
Like I said, watch the ratings, Paul. That'll tell you right on your own.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, another thing that I've noticed, you know, all these indictments against Trump in Georgia, Virginia, Miami, and Atlanta, right?
Yeah, maybe one in Arizona, too, coming up.
Okay, well, you know what, Paul? These are the globalists. If you look at it, and you look at the geopolitics of this, you got Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle, Chicago, and New York already taken over. All the crime, everything is happening in these cities, right?
Yeah, all bad.
All bad. Now, they're going after Trump in these cities to try and get rid of him. If they could lock up all these cities, Paul, they got power.
Oh, no kidding.
Okay, but that's what's going on here. Like I said, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle, Chicago, and New York. They're all a mess already. They're keeping the people divided by doing this, and then that's what they're hoping to do. But these charges against Trump aren't going to go nowhere. They're going to find out what goes on with that. And I'll tell you another thing. Have you been watching what's been going on in Maui, Paul?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, well, I got news for you people. I think this was a big setup. But, I mean, it was a perfect storm waiting to happen. They knew a hurricane was coming. And let's face the fact. You got Oprah, Bill Gates, and Bezos on a ton of acreage there, okay? How come none of that property was touched, number one? Number two, a hurricane's coming in. They know there's high winds and everything else. Nobody sounded sirens, the government, okay? Why did they not shut off power?
So
why did they not allow the water to go through?
Do you think that the government of Hawaii is in cahoots?
Oh, yeah. The more I'm researching on it, Paul, the more I believe it. Listen, they could set up a perfect storm. A hurricane's coming in. First thing you do is shut off power, right?
No.
No? Why?
They don't. They said they don't have a way just to shut off power.
No, I know. And they didn't have generators to produce it, right?
By the way, there's no island in the Caribbean that during a hurricane shuts off power.
Well, none of them. They must not be too smart then.
They don't burn. I mean, there's usually rain. This one didn't have any rain. And no, when you said certain properties weren't touched, is the way the wind was blowing in a certain direction.
I don't know.
You watch and see what goes on
and see if there's a land grab there.
It's very hard to. How are you going to control the wind and which way?
You don't have to worry about controlling the wind. All you got to do is put the other things into effect and let the wind take care of the rest.
Let me bring up the sirens. Now the sirens are meant for a tsunami, which the mayor or the governor, whatever it was, I think it was the mayor, said, we didn't sound the alarms because if we had sounded the alarms, people would have gotten up in the middle of the night or whatever it was and headed up into the mountains, which is where the fire was.
Okay.
Okay, so
they intentionally did not sound the alarm?
They intentionally did not because he did not want people to think it was a tsunami. And they would have headed for the mountains, which is where the fire was.
How should they have contacted people knowing that trouble was coming? How should they have contacted people?
I don't know if this has ever happened this way before.
Mm-hmm. Well, all I can say is let's watch the end results because I know that Biden giving the people their $700 a piece
story.
And he gave $113 billion to the Ukraine. So I want to see how this all turns up, and I want to see who buys up all that land.
Yeah.
Then you'll get your answers on what happened.
Hey, I want to. You mentioned about all the crime in all of the cities. Did you hear about there is a historic department store in San Francisco called Gump's? The owner of Gump's said that he would like to swap jobs with the mayor of San Francisco for 180 days, and then, quote, you'd see a lot of changes.
Would that be Forrest Gump's?
That's the first thing I thought about, but apparently it's a historic luxury department store called Gump's. It's been there for over 165 years. Wow. Gump's, popular stop for shoppers who visit the city in the Bay. And he took out a full-page ad in the San Francisco Chronicle. His name is James Chactus. And he called out top Democratic California Governor Gavin Newsom and the mayor of San Francisco, Landon Breed, and the city's board of supervisors, saying that he would just like to be in there for 180 days, and he turned things around. He's threatening to close the store and leave. So, just another indication.
I believe a lot of people are ready to pack up and leave California.
San Francisco is such a sad situation.
I don't know if over the weekend you said you were bouncing around, but this hurricane out on the West Coast making its way towards California, of course, it was all beefed up because, here it comes. But what they didn't tell you was by the time it was getting to land, it was going to hit very cold water and fall apart pretty fast.
Yeah.
Now, here's the Weather Channel. They're good for a laugh now and then. You know all their history. On one breath, this woman says, well, here comes a hurricane that they've not seen this in forever because of global warming now. This is now a possibility. And then about 2 minutes later, she says, this area could really use the rain because of global warming. Now, which is it?
Yes.
Which is it?
I know.
They want their cake and eat it, buddy.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
Is it dry because of global warming or is it wet because of global warming? Which one?
All of a sudden. It's like all of a sudden global warming is causing our weather? Come on. I mean.
And I know they're worried about mudslides, but listen.
We've had all of this stuff forever.
In California, it rains, you can spill a big gulp on the sidewalk and it'll cause a mudslide.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that bad.
It's getting pretty scary.
A lot of people out in California are like, come on, bring the rain. We need it.
So, Andrew. You know, we haven't even said a word about all the different new names that apparently Joe Biden uses when he communicates by email with his son. Did you hear about all
of them? Oh, yeah. I've heard. I got three of them.
The mainstream media, at least three. The mainstream media never talks about that stuff.
No, not at all.
But did you know that Hunter Biden's lawyers threatened to call Joe Biden to the witness stand if the criminal charges were pressed against Hunter?
That would be beautiful.
Wouldn't that be something to see? Wouldn't that be something? And like you said, he couldn't probably, or Ed said, he probably couldn't find the courthouse to begin with. But if he did, and he was there, I would pay to see that one.
You know, Paul, the truth is going to come out about all this stuff, especially with the indictments all against Trump. Because he can call in all kinds of witnesses now in his defense.
Yes, he can.
Of course. And every one of these
things. He's going to be able to try and prove that the vote really was screwed
up. It's all going to come out because they want it to come out eventually. They open the spigot slowly. Let it come out. Then it gets out. And then Biden backs out of the race, takes care of Kamala Harris too. And I thought you were going to bring up. I tried to find it, and I was going to tape it and bring it in. But the new some word that Biden came up with during a press conference was like shamalamunigda.
Oh yeah, he's got a new word.
He comes up with a bunch of them.
It was one of the people behind him looked at each other.
Yeah, well, he creates new words all the time. It's just amazing.
You know, he's got his own dictionary. Young, didn't they used to call that pig language or something? Remember
pig Latin.
Whenever he goes there, we should have somebody with closed caption underneath him, like Vanna White turning around number letters every time he says them. Turn letters around.
Have you guys ever noticed?
I like that. Vanna White could be there, and she could be turning over letters while he talked.
Did you people notice that every time Biden is somewhere, it wasn't last week at Camp David or whatever, he had the Prime Minister of Japan there and everything else, how come all these other people from other countries don't have earphones in their ears? But Joe Biden always does. He took his out, cleaned it, and put it back in the other day when I was well. How come he's always got an earpiece and nobody else does?
Do you think that they're feeding him words?
Of course
they were. They were speaking
it's
English,
hard enough
weren't
for
they?
Him to be able to walk and chew gum. If somebody's talking in his ear, it makes it even worse for him to be able to finish a sentence.
Well, that's why he has the problems he has.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes he'll go off and forget that it's on. He'll say something like, they're telling me to get along here or something like that.
Yeah, he does say
he
that.
He forgets.
Yeah, it's crazy. Andrew, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so very much for calling in this morning. How are you feeling, buddy?
I'm getting along better every day, Still get tired and beat up, but it's coming along.
Yeah, but you're feeling a lot better since your little.
Yep, I'm going to try and return. I'm going to try to return to work tomorrow.
Oh, I hope so. Happens. Yeah.
Good, because I need a haircut by Thursday.
I got a great haircut, by the way, on Friday. I want to thank Candy. She always does a wonderful job. All of them are great.
That's it. I try to keep up the experienced people in the shop.
Yeah, you do.
That's why there's only three of us.
Yeah, you guys are the best. Well, thanks, Andrew.
All right, buddy. You guys have a good day.
And the same. All right. Going to take our break when we come back. Did you know the Biden administration is auctioning off parts of the border wall that he wouldn't construct? We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Monday, Freedom Works. Thank you for listening. By the way, Freedom Works comes to you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. But if you can't listen live, thanks to Ed, all our shows are on podcast. You can go to our website and listen to any of our shows at your leisure. Go to OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top, and it'll open up. And you'll see all our shows. Ed's got the most recent show at the top. You'll see who the guest is. You'll see the topic that we have with the guest. You'll see the top 10. And then you can scroll on down, and you can see all the other shows there. OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay, so the Biden administration reportedly has been selling off millions of dollars worth of border wall material in a race against Republicans who are vying to pass legislation to finish the construction. What is going on with Biden? What is he doing? Former President Trump is said to have spent about $115 billion to erect 450 miles of barrier along the southern border, with another 250 miles in construction.
You know,
when he left office.
You know what that this tells me? It tips me off. Not tick. Tips me off.
Yeah, tick. Tips you.
Tips
yeah,
me
tips
off.
Tips you off.
That he's afraid that Biden's that Trump's going to get back in office. Think of it this way: you're in a house and you're about to lose it for whatever reason. It's going to go back to the original owner, and you want to cause as much destruction that you possibly can. So when they get it back, they're going to dump even more money back into it to get it back to where it was. So why not
it's just
sell?
Because
that stuff was all paid for and sitting there rusting. So why not sell? Where's that money going, by the way? Can I ask that question? Where he's auctioning it off? Where's it going?
That's a good question. That's a good question. On the day he was sworn in, Biden stopped the taxpayer-funded project, announcing the border wall construction as a waste of money.
that diverts attention from genuine threats to our homeland security. What a fool.
If you're going to do that and say, listen, it's sitting there and we're going to get rid of it and we're going to take all that money and we're going to send 400 underprivileged children to college with that money.
Yeah.
Okay? Then you got a legitimate... But just to say, we're going to sell it off. Where's the money going?
I don't know. God knows where it's gone.
But nobody asks these questions.
No, they don't.
I would ask. I'm sorry.
No, I agree with you.
Because I'd never get a press pass at White House. Probably never... drop my cocaine in there.
All right, it's time for our top 10, Ed. This is Rolling Stone Magazine's top 10 one-hit musical wonders. I want to see if you all have any idea and if you've heard of any of these songs. But yeah. here we go, the top 10 one-hit wonders. Number 10, The Vapors with a song called Turning Japanese.
Yes.
You've heard of it.
Yeah, 80s song, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Turning Japanese, I don't remember.
It's kind of a new wave, very fast song. Turning Japanese.
Ha! Yeah. They broke up, the group, the Vapors broke up. Best they vaporized that, the year that they...
Best thing they could have done.
All right. Number 9. Question Mark and the Mysterians with 96 Tears.
Okay.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
Going with me, 96 Tears.
Yep.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
They're still making money on that one. All right. Number 8. I hope I pronounced this one right. Chumbawamba. Tail thumping? You ever heard of that one?
I heard of tub thumping.
Oh, wait, it's tub thumping. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, tub thumping. Yeah, I apologize.
Yeah, I used to go, I got knocked down, but I get back up again. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. All right.
They put that song to Mike Allstott, Running Over People.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That was an English band, by the way.
Yeah.
Number 7. Blind Melon. And the song was No Rain.
Yeah.
You remember that one?
Yeah.
That was in 93.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like MTV played nothing but Aerosmith, Alicia Silverstone, and nothing but and No Rain for a while. All right. Number 6. I remember this song. It was by The Knack. My Sharona.
My Sharona, yeah.
You remember that song?
Yeah, that was about it.
That was it?
Yeah. Yep. That was an 80s song.
It was. You know, it was actually based on the frontman, Doug Fieger's girlfriend, Sharona Alperin. All right, number 5. The group was called Soft Cell.
Yeah, Tainted Love.
Yeah, very good.
Good song. I played that for you when you said you liked it.
Yeah, Tainted Love. Yeah. Very good. I don't remember how it went, but the quintessential 80s song is what it says here. Number 4. The group was Big Country, and the song was In a Big Country.
Okay.
Do you remember that one?
No.
Big Country was sort of a Scottish poor man's U2.
Okay.
It was a 1983 debut album. All right. Number 3.
Got about a minute.
Norman Greenbaum, Spirit in the Sky.
Yeah, we play that once in a while.
Yeah, I remember that one. Okay, number 2. Danny's Midnight Runners, Come On Eileen.
Yep.
Remember that one?
Yep.
Okay. And number 1. Aha! Take On Me.
Take On Me, yeah. Oh, okay.
They were, tell anybody in Europe that Aha was a one-hit wonder band, and they'll look at you like you're nuts.
Here's Soft Cell, Tainted Love will go out to that.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Wednesday. Remember, freedom works.
Sometimes I feel I've got to run away. I've got to get away from
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kaffin. Southwest washout.